Welcome to the Hope Canteen Podcast. This is our sixth podcast, if you are counting. As usual, I'm joined by Michael Rolfe and Stephanie London. Great to see both of you. How are you doing today?
I'm doing all right. It's been a hectic week. I'm a chaplain with the RCMP, and so there's been a lot of grief spilling all over Canada.
Yes.
Because of the loss of a member in Nova Scotia. And a very good friend of mine has been caring for the family, and so I've been in touch. And it's been stressful, but it's okay. It's turning out well, and there's lots of support. So it's not too bad.
Glad to hear it. Stephanie?
Yeah, doing okay. It's been really nice on the mundane level just to be able to go outside without my winter coat on.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think the big thing for us and our family, apart from the Nova Scotia thing, and we've been keeping them in our prayers for sure, but just on our day-to-day thing, our kids are getting antsy, and if it looks like actually we might have to stay inside, or not inside, but at least around our house for a while, we actually went to Canadian Tire and picked up a trampoline. So hopefully that'll make the quality of life at our house a little bit better, at mm-hmm. least for our kids, and then of course that means for us as well. So
as long as we can figure out how to assemble it, we'll be good.
That is tomorrow's project.
Mm-hmm.
So today we are looking at one of my favorite, I know many people's favorite story, The Road to Emmaus. If you would like to read this story in your Bible before we get started, it is at the end of the Gospel of Luke. It is Luke 24, 13 to 35. Again, Luke chapter 24, verses 13 to 35, and you can pause the podcast here. I will just give kind of an overview of the story, which is actually quite simple. You have two of the disciples on the road, Cleopas and an unnamed disciple, and they're walking to a town called Emmaus. All they know at this point is that Jesus was killed, he had died, and is buried. And some of the women earlier that day had said they had seen him alive, but they're not quite sure what to think about that. As they're walking on the road, they're joined by a mysterious stranger who is apparently ignorant of all the events of the last week, so they start telling the stranger what happened. They tell him about Jesus and the hopes that they had that this Jesus would be the one to redeem Israel. But then this mysterious stranger does kind of an odd thing. He calls them foolish, and then proceeds to go through the entire Old Testament and tell them how they should have understood all these events. Well, they just happen at that moment to arrive at an inn, and they talk this mysterious stranger into staying with them for a bite of dinner. Once they settle, the stranger takes some bread. He says a blessing, and he breaks the bread. And at that moment, they see that the stranger is actually Jesus, and then he disappears. They run home. Mind you, that's 7 miles in the dark, to tell the disciples that they have seen Jesus. Well, there is a lot to talk about in this story. Christians have been mining this story for spiritual nourishment for centuries. So I'm curious, what do you all think?
It's one of my favorite stories. I suspect you'll find a majority of Christians will say the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's partly because it gives us so much detail. We can almost picture the circumstances, and we can imagine ourselves walking that road on the way to Emmaus and encountering Jesus. So it's something with which we can all identify, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we don't have that many stories about Jesus after his resurrection, so it's nice to have this little glimpse into this weird relationship that people had with him. He keeps disappearing and reappearing, and sort of this how confusing it must have been for the disciples trying to figure out what had happened and who Jesus was now.
Yes. Yeah, it's a really human story to me. You have Cleopas and this other disciple, and one of the things that I've always found fascinating is in the Eastern churches, the Orthodox churches, that other disciple is actually Luke. That's their particular tradition. But they're grieving. They're uncertain. They don't know what's going on, and they proceed to bring this stranger in. And it's actually quite a courageous thing to do, because actually they don't know. Remember, they were hiding for fear of the temple authorities, and so to confess that they had been followers of Jesus was actually a remarkable thing.
Yeah, and just the fact that he writes that they were looking sad, and verse 21 says, we had hope that he was the one to redeem Israel. Like, the resurrection is so fresh that they don't quite believe the women. They don't quite know what's going on, and they're still reeling from it.
Yeah, this powerful trauma, not only of seeing their teacher and friend, you know, brutally killed, but all the hopes that they had, the dreams that they had, it all come crashing down.
They've had a wonderful experience for a period of time, and presumably then, as they're walking away from Jerusalem, they're thinking, well, we had great hopes, but it's over.
Right.
We have to pick up and carry on from, do the best we can from here on.
Yeah.
Sorry. Yeah, we're reading this a couple of weeks after Easter, but in the story, this is happening right on the heels of the actual resurrection.
Yeah,
and
that's
the rumor
right.
has just started to spread, but for them, it's still only rumor.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why it's remarkable to me that they actually tell this stranger what they know of Jesus, even though, you know, they don't have all the facts themselves.
Yeah, I mean, it may be that, you know, with many griefs, you just have to talk to somebody, and so they found this as an outlet for expressing their grief. Yes, and just a note, this is actually on Easter Day. Stephanie was right to point that out. So why do you think Jesus does this? Why doesn't he just reveal himself right away? What do you think the purpose of this being a mysterious stranger is all about?
Well, I wonder if there's something in the crafting of the story that speaks to us, that to show us that he's not just obvious in who he is, but he's actually revealed in the action of the breaking of the bread, which we continue, I mean, when we're not social distancing, that
right.
we continue every week, the same action that is also given to us to show us Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Actually, to tag on with that, that's hugely helpful. This is very much a pointing towards the service, because it's not only the breaking of the bread, but right before that, like we do in the liturgy, we open the scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
So this has that unique Eucharistic structure of breaking
yeah.
open the scriptures and then also breaking the bread.
Yeah,
it almost seems like there's a process to knowing Jesus. You can't just jump into it, but that in fact he leads us in on a journey of spiritual recognition, I suppose. I think that's one of the reasons this story is so important to people. There is this journey imagery, this journey metaphor.
And when we get to verse 35, the last verse of our passage today, it says, then they told what had happened on the road and how he'd been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. So this unfolding of this revelation of Jesus is coming from two parts. It's coming from the part on the road and the breaking of the bread.
Right.
And part of what happens on the road is Jesus himself becomes the interpretive key for everything that's gone before. The prophets and the law and the history of the people of Israel. Something in Jesus and his life and his death and resurrection shines light on that in a way that maybe they hadn't known before.
Mm-hmm.
I find myself wondering why did he wait? Why didn't he just say, hey, hi, it's me, it's Jesus.
Jesus, yeah.
and I wonder if he was waiting to see whether they were ready, whether it was one of those things that they could bear,
right?
Or whether it would just be too overwhelming for them. And so he had to see where they were coming from, test them, before he was prepared to reveal himself to them.
And I wonder if he was also giving them something, just to tag on to that and what you said earlier, Steve, as well. If they had just been traumatized and needed to talk about it, maybe he was actually giving the gift of listening to them as they processed this,
mm-hmm.
And then speaking something into it.
Yeah, and obviously he did think they were ready. I always find it funny he says how foolish they were.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know quite what he meant by that. But I do like the idea, Stephanie, of what you said as well, that Jesus had to explain to them what all of this meant, and starting with Moses and the prophets. I've always been deeply moved by that aspect of the Christian tradition, especially in the Anabaptist tradition, that we have to understand all these things through Jesus, that, like you said, Jesus is the one who makes all this open. And so there's a lot of stuff we don't understand necessarily in Moses and the prophets, but we can see Jesus, and in Jesus some of that stuff really comes to light and opens up to us. So I think that's an important point for us.
I keep thinking of Jesus, remembering that he is their great teacher. He has been teaching them all through his ministry. Mm-hmm. And so I guess that makes me smile a bit, because as I go back and wonder again about what he was doing with them, you know, at first it's almost as like he's toying with them a bit. But teachers do that, don't they? They ask them questions. They want to draw it out from the students and see what
right.
they've learned.
Yeah, that's right.
And maybe there's some of that going on here too.
Yeah. Well, that would tie in with Stephanie, right? Are they ready? How are they feeling? Or like you said, how are they ready?
Yeah.
That's really interesting.
Yeah, and I wonder if he's also grounding them in a particular way with that. Because it sounds to me like they're still trying to figure out what's going on. Like you said before, it's rumor to them. They're not sure who to believe. They're not sure what just happened. They're not sure where they're going from there. But Jesus is saying, no, wait a second. You do know. Like, mm-hmm. you know the scriptures.
Yeah.
So let's look in the scriptures and see what you actually still know, and the foundation that you still have. And let's recast that in the light of what Jesus has promised.
And he does that, and so they're encouraged by that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, more than encouraged. I think, to be honest, my favorite line in this whole story, and it may even be one of my favorite lines in all of Scripture, is this question, were not our hearts burning within us? So I have this imagery, right? While he's explaining this, it's making sense. They're getting excited. Maybe their hopes are being revived. They're
yeah.
starting to see things clearly. And obviously that's a movement of the Holy Spirit in their hearts. Just kind of an amazing thing. And I think it also shows us it's not just about our heads, right? Understanding stuff, but it's a transformation inside when you mm-hmm. have this connection with Jesus.
Of course, we look at the Holy Spirit. The symbol for the Holy Spirit is the flame of It's fire.
Yes,
and,
right.
And so, you know, they're getting fired up mm-hmm. by listening to Jesus as they walk along the road.
Yeah, what an
Literally.
Amazing moment.
Yeah.
There's this strange time thing going on as well. I think it's reminding us that sometimes encounters with Jesus can only be understood looking backwards. They didn't actually know what was going on in the moment, but
right.
looking back, they recognized, no, wait, that was actually the Holy Spirit working in us. That was actually the presence of Jesus showing up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so then when they found that heat again in their hearts, that fire burning within us, they would learn to recognize
yeah.
mm-hmm.
the presence of the Holy Spirit. I love this idea that they recognized him in the breaking of the bread. And again, I think Luke is doing something amazing here. So he's not only recounting what happened in this episode, but he's giving us, coming centuries and centuries later, an explanation of what's happening in this breaking of the bread. Because, of course, this was what Jesus gave them in the Holy Spirit, right?
Mm-hmm.
This action, which still blows me away. You know, he didn't give them an action in the temple or some religious thing to do, but sitting around a table, we've turned it into a religious thing. We have made a liturgy
sure.
out of it, to be sure. But at the heart of it is sharing a meal.
Yeah.
And that is how we recognize Jesus. I love that image.
And even more so than sharing the meal, it's specifically in the breaking of the bread. And Jesus said that he's the bread, and something in his body being broken on Good Friday. There's something about his body being broken that is showing them something of God.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Well, I definitely see the cross as the ultimate revelation of the love of God repeated here. in the breaking of the bread. And it, of course, ties into the whole idea that Jesus is the bread of life. So it's both the physical bread, but it's also the community that we have together breaking the bread. But then it's also Jesus Christ, the Word of God, feeding us with this spiritual nourishment for us to grow. All tied in this story. It's just amazing.
Yeah, when we come to the Eucharist now, there's a number of meals that converge in that liturgical act. And this is one of those meals.
Mm-hmm.
The other ones would have been like the Passover meal and Jesus' Last Supper. But this is also one of the meals that gets bundled up within the Eucharist.
So as we ponder this, again, in this time of pandemic, as we wrap up our podcast for today, is there anything that you particularly are taking from this or that you think we can take from this as a community? Because one of the sadnesses, of course, is we're not breaking bread together. That's actually one of the things we have given up, and it may be for some, not only some weeks to come, but a few months to come. So how do we read this time?
Well, for me, it's a reminder, or at least it's an encouragement to approach the meal that we have around our table now at home.
Mm-hmm.
And as we say grace at the beginning of the meal, as we give thanks at the beginning of the meal, to perhaps be a little more serious about that, more intentional, and to take from this story the fact that in the midst of the meal, Jesus was revealed.
Right.
Jesus can come. Jesus comes when he's least expected.
Right.
He just shows up, and so it reminds me to continue to be ready to receive Jesus, no matter when he chooses to be greatly present to me, because he can come at any time.
Yeah, that's great.
One thing I love about this story is, in verse 31, where their eyes are opened, they recognized him, and he vanishes. He just disappears like he did in the upper room as well. It says something to me about the unhooking of Jesus' ministry from his physical presence, that after he comes back from the dead, his body is different, and like we talked about last week, he kind of appears and disappears through locked doors, through walls, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I think that happens is so that they know that they can't hold on to him in the same way. But on the flip side, that his ministry is now for the whole world, and now for it's much more far-reaching. So we can know that even though we haven't seen Jesus in the flesh and we haven't touched Jesus in the flesh, that he is present here just as much through the Holy Spirit and through his resurrected presence.
Mm-hmm. That's great, yeah. And echoing what he had said to Mary Magdalene, don't hold on to
me. Don't touch me. I've not yet ascended to the Father.
Right.
Yeah.
And they would have liked to hold on to him,
yeah,
I'm sure.
Yeah.
But
I think for me, the take home is this journey metaphor. I love this idea of being on the road, that this is a historical event that Luke is narrating, but it also has an archetypal significance, right? We find ourselves on the road. We find ourselves in the midst of grief right now in all kinds of different ways. And Jesus might come next to us or with us in ways that we don't necessarily recognize, but I think we can have trust that Jesus doesn't abandon us, but that he meets us. And there is some growing that we have to do, that in this it will actually lead to new insights, new trust, and in fact a new time period of our hearts burning within us. And so I think that journey metaphor will be my takeaway.
Yeah.
During this time,
it's not that he might come, he will come.
He will come.
In fact, to open your eyes, he's here now.
That's right.
Yeah,
I love that.
And if we're ever feeling like we don't know where to find Jesus, this also gives us two places to return to, and that's the scriptures and the breaking of bread.
Yeah,
right. And the community.
And the community. Three places.
Yeah.
So there is so much here. I hope you enjoy your meditating on this story. Again, we encourage you to keep meditating on it, and we will join you next week for our next edition of the Hope Canteen podcast. Thank you so much for joining us and for taking the time to listen. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.